Hi, I am Susan Young. I'm the chair of the Pacifica Board, and this is the Pacifica National Board regular session meeting teleconference, Thursday, September 19th, 2024. Supposed to start at 8:30, and we're starting at 8:44. Madam Secretary, will you be kind to take the roll?
You bet. Irene Adams.
Present.
Thank you, Irene. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Thank you, Teresa. Kaja Brown.
Present.
Thank you, Kaja. Donna Carter.
Present.
Thank you, Donna. Paul DiRienzo.
Present.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Thank you, Jim. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'll keep going. Fred Dodsworth.
I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you, Jan. Heather Gray. I'll keep going. Avelia Jones.
Present.
Thank you, Avelia. Zach Caldvier.
Here.
Thank you, Zach. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Thank you, Marianne. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchback asked for an excused absence. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Thank you, Sean. Serene Roberts.
Present.
Thank you, Serene. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman. I'll keep
Harvey,
going.
Harvey, we can't hear you.
I'll keep going. Egberto Willis.
I repeat.
All right, let me come back around. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Thank you, Vanessa. Heather Gray. Harvey Wasserman. Harvey, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, I got you there. All right. Do we get Alberto Willis? Not yet. Okay. Madam Chair, Susan Young.
Here.
Thank you. Madam Chair, that's 19, so we have quorum. Let me call the others. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Thank you, Stephanie. Arthur Schwartz, I don't think we expect him this early. Julie Hewitt, I am here. And Aki Tanaka is not here this evening. All right.
Call to order is done. Roll call is done. Report out from the executive session of September 5th meeting. And let me just note that there is a motion about this, but it will be taken up in executive session. The PMB met in closed session to hear confidential personnel and contractual matters. Excused absences. We have one request for an excused absence. Is there, and that is Ron Pinchback. Is there any objection to excusing Ron's absence? Hearing none, it's excused. Timekeepers. We have earlier done some arm twisting, and I think that we have agreement from Irene to be the timekeeper for topics. If you would just make a monosyllabic reply to indicate, I haven't made it up.
You speak the truth, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Fred, for people.
Does anybody really care what time it is?
And let me suggest you keep your day job there, dude. Okay. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda. Approve open session minutes, is number 3, 5 minutes. ED report and Q&A, 30 minutes. Number 5, committee reports, the appendices, 45 minutes. Audit committee, 3 minutes. Coordinating committee, 1 minute. Finance committee, see appendix, 10 minutes. Governance Committee, see Appendix, 20 minutes. Personnel Committee, 5 minutes. Strategic Planning Committee, 5 minutes. Old business, see appendices for these. A, motion from Jim Dingman on Programming Committee. B, motion from Jim Dingman on Strategic Planning Committee. C, motion from Jim Dingman on Technology Task Force. D, motion from Serene Roberts on Executive Sessions. Motion from Serene, E, motion from Serene Roberts on Accurate Records. F, motion from Jim Dingman on Independent Investigation of State of the Archives. G, motion from Serene Roberts on Audit Committee. H, motion from Serene Roberts on Director's Access. I, motion from Serene Roberts on meeting rosters. J, motion from Paul DiRanzo on Gaza. K, motion from Serene Roberts to stand up the Elections Committee and convert it to a standing committee. HIJK. L, motion from Serene Roberts regarding subcarrier income. M, motion from Jim Dingman on creating a media-oriented Project 2025. N, motion from Serene Roberts on interim station management. TBD. 7, new business, 5 minutes. 8, motion to move into closed session at a time no later than 10 p.m. Eastern time. And I will not read the executive session motion. Adjourn, report out for Pacifica.org for reading at the next open session will be number 17, 3 minutes. Adjourn at time certain at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Serene, I see your hand up.
Yes, thanks. I understand that without the courtesy of consulting me and without permission of the board, and I'm not a Robert's Rules expert, that you have put my motions, which have been accumulating because they don't get addressed for a month, some are like 6 months old, that you have sent them off to the governance committee where they set up a work group that doesn't meet officially in any recorded fashion without any public announcements to dispose of, quote, the Serene issues, which is what they called it at the governance committee. And that seems to me really improper. If the board accepted the motions and they're on the agenda, why isn't the plan to deal with the motions that are on the agenda, on the board's agenda, instead of shunting them off to some secret session and targeting me in the process?
Are you making a motion to amend the agenda?
It's a question about your behavior.
So that's not a motion I hear your comment. That's not a motion to amend the agenda. Are there any motions to amend the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. All right. The first item is approve open session minutes. Julie, do we have any?
We do. We actually have three sets of minutes. The first one is from March 21st.
Let me just suggest, because I think these have been sent out recently, will you let us know what minutes there are? And I am going to suggest we move consideration of them to the next meeting. Is there any objection to that? Paul? Okay, so let me say that we're very grateful that there is a volunteer who has stepped forward who is helping us catch up with the minutes, and that is a wonderful, wonderful contribution to us. So, if there's no objection to moving to item number 4, ED report. Stephanie, take it away.
Thank you. An ED report was sent out to everyone. Not a lot has changed, actually, since our last meeting. We're still working with removing the lien for the Los Angeles building. Everything is moving along splendidly with the SBA. We're just kind of working on the Small Business Administration. We're just kind of working on their timeline at this point. We're still moving and progressing forward with submitting our 990s, our taxes. And we're working with the stations, putting all of that together. And that also will be a joint, as we're working on putting together all the information for that. We're also working simultaneously on using that information for our getting ready for our audit. We did receive an extension for our taxes a while ago, so we're not behind with our 990s. Everything is fine with that. And if once we do our audits, we see that there are any sort of material changes that might warrant an amended return, then we'll go ahead and submit that to the IRS. One of the things that I mentioned again last time is that we are going to be compiling our audits for fiscal year 22 and 23 jointly, which is going to lessen the overall expense. And then the fiscal year 24 will be as a complete as a standalone audit. Nothing else is really different. I'm just kind of looking through the notes, but everything is in the ED report. Let me pull up the National Election Supervisor report that was also sent out to everyone. And I will just read it for the stream. We got through everything in the beginning quite quickly, so I was a little caught off guard on the speed and efficiency of the first part of the meeting. So I'm pulling it up right now. So what was sent out to everyone was a ballot phase update number 2, dated September 5th, 2024. And then the date underneath that says August 15th through September 30th, 2024. And this was an update that was given, sent to me right before the meeting, and then I forwarded that to everybody from our National Election Supervisor. Voting. The balloting, voting, campaigning phase for the 2024 Pacifica delegate election is in process. 9 in total. There is no election for the WPFW staff. A handful of paper ballots have been sent out. Voting progress towards quorum, 25% of staff to vote and 10% of listeners is as follows. This report is as of 1:23 p.m. Pacific, KPFT staff has made quorum. You know, let me pull up the other one. I believe I am reading the wrong one. Because once I was reading that, I realized it looked like it was the last one that was sent out. So let me, sorry about this. I thought the date on that looks weird. Okay. So let me correct myself. The report that everybody received and is dated ballot phase update number 3, dated September 19th, 2024. Voting. The balloting, voting, campaigning phase for the 2024 Pacifica delegate election is in process. 8 in total. No WPFW staff and WPFW listener has closed early. Voting progress towards quorum, 25% of staff to vote and 10% of listeners is as follows. As of 1:23 p.m. Pacific time today, KPFA listeners, KPFT listeners, and KPFT staff have made quorum. The voting stats are as follows. For KPFA, listeners, 11.6% have voted, meaning 1,378 out of 11,865. For KPFA staff, 19.6% have voted, 39 out of 199. KPFK, 6.9%, 307 out of 4,405. For staff, 21%, 48 out of 229. For KPFT, listener vote, 9.9%, 308 out of 3,122. Staff, 33%, 48 out of 146. For WBAI, 5.2% for listeners, or 247 out of 4,764. And staff, 19.8%, 21 out of 106. For WPFW, listener, 7.2%, 433 out of 6,014. And for staff in the chart, it's a not applicable. NA, as with an asterisk, it says WPFW election has closed as there are 9 candidates for 9 vacancies, as 1 candidate has now been seated to fill a vacancy. The last paragraph on the report is a final week push. In order to reach quorum, KPFK and WBAI will need to encourage listener votes to cast votes. Listener voters to cast votes. It is suggested that every show host read a script encouraging listener members to vote. This strategy was effective during the last election cycle. Staff quorum will likely be met, but the NES has also recommended that all GMs send out an internal email to the staff to vote. So this report, again, was sent out to everyone, and it can be shared with the LSBs as you send out information to them.
Okay, I've got two hands up. Myla, you were first.
Okay, thanks a lot. A couple of things. First of all, Stephanie, I think that you might have said that you might be working on a template for budgets that could be used at all of the Pacifica stations for events. We're currently working on a town hall for KPFK listeners, and I've actually been helping with that, and have mentioned that an event budget is mandatory for all events. Did you say you were going to help create a template that could be used across all stations? That's my first of two questions.
Yes. And that is one of the things that we have talked about as we've been working on budgets on the local level and then also at the National Finance Committee, is that event, community event line on many of the budgets is a little kind of wiggly a little bit. And so what we're trying to emphasize is that we get better documentation of the actual expenses for an event and the revenue that would be generated from the event. And those expenses would also include in-kind donations. And most of that, in order to track how we're doing with the events, is so that if anything, that we can become better stewards for the people that have provided in-kind donations with thank you gifts, thank you notes, and also tax acknowledgement letters. So, yes.
So you will be working on a template that we can use? Wonderful. And then my second question has to do with staff eligibility to vote in the election. And I'm wondering, I don't know if this is something that you can answer, but it seems to me that we need some kind of a standard formula for eligibility, because when I was getting my petition signatures for my petition to be reelected as a staff representative of KPFK, I talked to a couple of show hosts who
finally your time's up.
May I have a couple more seconds, if it's okay? Let me ask my question, please.
Then we need to go around.
I just want to know if there's some kind of a standard formula that can be used, because it seems that people who are co-hosts of a show on KPFK should be eligible to vote and sign petitions as staff, and they didn't think that they were eligible. So I just was wondering what's going on with that.
I don't have a direct answer to that, but there should be some sort of clarification as to what constitutes staff and how many hours one needs to work, particularly with programs. One of the things that this has come up before in other elections is that a program may have a staff of, two or three that are working on it. And then all of a sudden it grows to 25 or 30 people that are co-producers of a program kind of near election time. So, it's what's been helpful in doing the FCC compliance training and creating the staff listing or the staff a website or a directory that we can have for all the staff, is that as we started getting the list of all the producers at the stations, where we thought we had maybe 400 or 500, it was actually 950 plus. So that's allows us now to be able to have access to everybody. And then at that point, we can kind of figure out, I don't know what committee or who would create this as to how many hours one needs to work on a program to actually call them a producer of a program. So that's just kind of a bigger question that we need to take a look at moving forward.
Thank you.
Okay. Serene, then Donna, then Jim. Serene?
Okay, thanks. So I'm going to just ask all my questions all together. Since we don't have an elections committee, you know, people pretty much have to write to the NES and hope she responds. I sent in a request for access to the mailing list, unless it came, her response came today. There's been no response. It's been several days. I sent in a fair campaign violations report more than a week ago. There's been no response, again, unless it came today. My phone was dead and I was out. BAI staff is recorded as having 103 people. That is incorrect. It just has to be incorrect. The debacle at the situation at WPFW, where apparently someone was on the board and then they were told, no, you're not in that seat. And then the new person gets to choose which of the two seats they want, et cetera, et cetera. That's an, you know, our operations when it comes to elections, we have to take great pains to make sure it's all being handled transparently. And I know that I repeatedly wrote to the chair who was putting together a special investigative committee or task force or something, never got a response about the meetings, never got any of the information. You know, if we want people to respect the results of the elections, we have to actually do the elections properly. So if you could respond on
those four things.
And okay, thanks. And then I have some information about how staff criteria is determined. It has not changed since 2003. So people who've been involved since 2003 are suddenly unaware. I don't think any crew has.
So let's let Stephanie respond to your questions. And if you have information about how staff is determined, then you can share that afterwards.
I can't respond on behalf of emails that had been sent to our national election supervisor and what those replies were. So I can ask her if she's received and why she hasn't responded, or if she has responded for the mailing list, response to the FAIR campaigns violation report, a confirmation of the BAI staff number, and then any sort of WPFW problems. But I can't speak on her behalf for those.
Donna Carter.
Sorry, can I just ask why she's never spoken to the board? She's never shown up at one of these meetings this year. You know, we're paying her, what, $60,000? Come on. She can show up at a meeting.
So, and Serene, you've made your comment. Thank you. You're not recognized. Donna, then Jim.
Okay. I'm really impressed with our voter turnout at KPFA. It's pretty amazing. So something, there's a lot of discussion there. On the other side of the coin, a campaign violation was sent to Renee more than a month ago, and in the last at the last PNB meeting, her report indicated that violation was approved or agreed upon. And she said that she would be telling us in a week or what the follow-up would be on that. And we are now 2 weeks later. Many people have emailed in asking what the outcome of this is. And I know I haven't gotten any response. I don't know about the other people. So this is a difficult situation. So.
So I think I understand that then Stephanie will be consulting with Renee and getting a rundown of the FAIR campaign violations, and we'll be able to, she and Renee will be able to respond to this. Okay, Jim.
All right, thank you. I have several questions. First of all, where are we at with the digitization project for the archives And what is an update on the marketing plans? That's first question. Second question is, how are we doing on, and you can discuss whether this can be talked about publicly or not, how are we doing on selling the building in Los Angeles? And the final question is, objectively speaking, since we have been under this consent decree for the past few months, objectively speaking, what's the actual increase, diminution, station by station, of individual donations as a result of it? I know the objective fact in New York is the individual donations, according to Allegiance data, are down. But I'm just wondering, what is your assessment of that problem?
The digitization project is also in the ED report. It's moving along splendidly. We have an additional storage space that we were able to get at the storage facility where everything is climate controlled, and we're using that as a working space and a holding space for the tapes as they are pulled out. We have the first 20,000 that are going to be sent out. We received a grant from WGBH Educational Foundation to support library science students from UCLA to participate in the packaging of and the cataloging of everything that's being sent. The first batch of, I believe, 5,000 should be sent out shortly. We're not incurring the costs of any of these. And then tapes are also being moved then from the building to this new organized storage facility that we already have the shelves that are there, and we have everything that's needed to use again as that, as a space. We are also cleaning out, starting to clean out the storage facilities, the 5 units that we have, to get a better understanding of what's there. There were some just boxes that were full of trash, like old newspapers. Some just were like empty boxes filled with other empty boxes. So we're going through each of the layers in a lot of those storage facilities and cleaning those out so we can get, and again, using that bigger space that we're renting as a holding area to categorize and catalog everything. So that's moving along splendidly. Also in the ED report, there is, we are in the process of, the grant that we got from the WGBH Educational Foundation was through their Preserving Endangered Media program. And then we are also working with the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Division of Preservation and Access, to help support the expense of the storage and the storage materials, the racks, the archival sleeves, the humidifiers, et cetera, for the collection while we continue through the digitization process. We are also still licensing items that were in the in our archives. We just finished another licensing agreement with someone that needed copies of a transcript of something. So we've had 3 licensing agreements that have come through so far within the last month and a half. And so that's also helping support the project going forward. The building, as I said earlier, is moving along just fine. We're waiting for we've had arborists go out to look at the trees that are in the parking lot. We've had environmental inspections, 2 of those. We've had 2 building inspections. Everything has been, fine. There's been no concerns or complaints from the potential buyers. We've had the appraisers go out and they've matched and are comfortable with the asking price and the funding that the potential buyers have received already for the building. So nothing has been, everything is going along splendidly, according to the brokers. And we're just, as I said, waiting for the SBA at this point to remove the lien from the Los Angeles building. And once they remove the lien, then we can go ahead and have the lien removed by FJC. We're keeping FJC informed once or twice a week, basically, on what's happening. They're in a happy place. And again, the SBA is in a happy place. We are no longer in default because we are making the 10% of the monthly payment, which is approximately $860 every month, in order to keep that not to keep us out of default. The marketing plan for the archives, I mean, we're still working with that in partnership with the Library of Congress and with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting with their marketing team we provided them with wording already, the historical significance. They were well aware of the historical significance of our items, and we're working with them on creating with us by using their expertise how best to market, describe, and announce to the media and the world that they are now going to have access to one of the world's largest archives of recorded materials and paper products. So as soon as we have a finalized plan with that, then we'll go and obviously I'll go ahead and share that. As far as the actual increase and decrease station by station of individual donations, there hasn't been a significant decrease. WPFW, their last fund drive made goal, KPFA made goal, KPFT made goal. What it's doing is we haven't had a lot of pushback either from producers. It's a new way of looking at things, but it's the correct way of looking at things and promoting the stations. And it's been for a lot of individuals, when they have the ability to say that this program is sponsored by, it gives a better call out or a better promotion of whatever that company or the producer, because they can do their little sponsorship in the beginning of the program at a natural break in the middle, and then again at the end, which then could direct them to their website. So it's been actually kind of a greater marketing tool for some of our producers, and it's giving them a more creative way to promote the station. We've already had our frequently asked question booklet that's been sent out to everyone. We had another training again today. We're doing trainings about every other week now, just to kind of catch some of the few stragglers. But, there's always a little bit of a growing period when you make changes, but we're following the FCC rules. We're not breaking any guidelines. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and we're promoting our stations as our stations and not just selling a product. So, so far everybody's happy.
So we've got four hands up, and let me also just take a little break in this. Julie, Vanessa, you've arrived. Would you say your name? And Heather's arrived as well.
I'm here.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs, right?
Yep. Yes.
Heather, would you say your name?
I'm here as well. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so Darlene, then Vanessa, then Paul.
My comment actually is more to remind, as a sometimes bylaws reader, I did read up on the election, and it was structured about the election very clearly. The election supervisor is to be removed, not part of any part, other part of the Pacifica Foundation than the election. They are hired, or their contract is signed by the executive director, but they are totally independent. They are the perfect third party. So it's hard to accept that there's somebody out there whose work we just have to live with or respect. And that's the situation, as my couple of times reading of the bylaws goes, about the elections. That is how the bylaws set it up. Thank you.
Vanessa, then Heather, then Paul. And let's make that, I think we may be coming close on time. Perhaps Irene can tell us. And we need to get to committee reports. So Vanessa, Heather, and Paul.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to break in to say that we have 6 minutes left.
Thank you. Vanessa.
Okay. So my comment also is about the National Election Supervisor. So I'm glad Darlene read what she read. Notwithstanding, and lots of adherence to the bylaws, it seems, when, and not speaking specifically of Darlene, but I'm speaking in general, when people want to adhere to the bylaws, and then when they don't, and it's inconvenient, all of a sudden they just don't, they just do something different. So understanding that Stephanie cannot answer for the National Election Supervisor, hopefully for a $60,000 salary of listeners' money, she can encourage the National Election Supervisor to at least be accountable and respond to questions. And I echo Celeste's concern about, again, following the bylaws when it's convenient and not doing it when it's not, PFW, allowing someone to fill one of two vacancies, not per the bylaws, which would have been the next available seat, skipping over the next available seat, which would have ended in 3 months, and cherry picking the next vacancy, which expires next year. The bylaws does not say fill the next available seat unless you don't want to.
Thank you. Thank you, Vanessa. Heather, then Paul.
Yes, I'm going to be brief. I'm bringing up again, you were talking about the archive, Susan, which I appreciate. And I think one of the things I want to mention to all board members is that I think we need to figure out some way to promote this incredible archival material. There's just, it's so incredibly rich with history. So I don't know exactly how we can do this, but I'd love to see articles written and all over the country about Pacifica, its role, its voice of the people. It's so incredibly important. So maybe I just need to call some other folks and see what we can do to figure out what we can do to promote these archival materials. So Stephanie, I look forward to talking with you more about that as well. All right. It's just brilliant. All of this material. It's just wonderful. Because I've used it as well for some of my programs here in Atlanta, actually. So thank you, Susan. That's all I wanted to say.
Please be a resource for us all, okay? You know what's in there. And so any way that you can be a resource, I'm sure you're welcome. Paul.
Oh, hi, guys. What I've discovered is that the five stations often have their own archives, some going back quite a while. Is there a way that programmers, that those could be added to the archives that exist in California, or are they frozen? Is that it? I mean, what is the process for adding things to the archives, or is it beyond that? We're looking just at stuff that was recorded in decades past. Also, for example, I'm looking here in my apartment. I literally have hundreds and hundreds of hours of BAI programming that I have collected since I started in the 80s, and stuff people gave me, including tapes of numerous reports from Pacifica reporters having to do with Leonard Peltier and the incredible coverage that Pacifica gave to the Peltier case and to Wounded Knee and to the whole thing with Marlon Brando back in those days. I have it. Somebody gave it to me. And back then, 50 years ago, and I still have it. I've just been listening to it lately and figuring out a show on Peltier's 80th birthday. So it came to me that I have a lot of stuff. A lot of other people are way more collectors than I am. I mean, there's people, BAI must have unbelievable collections like Fastend, you know, on thousands of tapes. I bet there's a lot of stuff out there. Now, is there a process, or is the archives we're talking about in California some frozen thing that's a specific purpose?
All your time is up.
Yeah, you know, that's the question.
No, the archives in California just happens to be where all the tapes are held, but we have and we receive tapes from all of the stations. And we often receive tapes from people that have found collections in garage sales, or if someone passes away and they find those, the family finds those collections in the person's home, or they've seen something that's being sold on eBay, which shouldn't be. And then we've purchased actually items like that. We just did that recently, actually. Then we want everything in the archives. So it is the responsibility over the years for each of the stations to provide that archival material to the archives department, whether either it's shipping it to them or uploading it on our archival website. Unfortunately, that hadn't been updated though for the last few years. So I completely understand if people have personal collections, but we don't know what is in people's garages or closets unless we're told what's in garages and closets. But the archive collection is everything that encompasses what was on Pacifica. The AAPB and the Library of Congress will be doing very intensive copyright clearances and searches on every single item to make sure that we do own the rights to it. And then once everything is digitized, of course, we will still maintain those intellectual
properties. We are at time when we're stuck on
can I get a brief follow-up? Thanks.
Go ahead.
30 seconds. So that's very interesting to me because, let me think about this beforehand. I sort of spaced out the question I was going to ask. So another time when it comes back to me, I'll ask it. Thank you.
And I can direct you to actually the people that are working on this legacy project so you can share with them what you have, because we may have some of that already and we may not. You may have better copies. You may have originals. So that's one of those things that I can connect you with our staff that's working on that. And then we can share what you have. And we're hoping to, bit longer, but as we get the digitized materials back and we have those masters back, we're actually working right now to determine like if we're going to house them somewhere, like all the materials that came from WBAI, house them at a university in New York. Everything that's coming from Houston, house them in a house them in a university in Texas, because we have so many. One place can't house them all. So we're working with different universities to divide it up by the station, and there's also the possibility of then dividing it up by subject. So we're still working on that long-term plan right now.
Right, and that's the last thing. Is there, for example, there's material that was played on BAI. Just real quick, played on BAI, but was from Minnesota Public Radio, but it was played extensively on BAI and is part of the BAI archives, even though Minnesota Public Radio owns it.
Let me ask you to follow up with Stephanie directly after.
That would be great.
Okay, great. So the next item are committee reports. This is 45 minutes. Some are longer, some are shorter. Irene, audit committee.
And mine is that short but sweet. The audit committee, I had originally attempted to make a meeting for what would have been last night at 8:30, but there were some cross communication issues going on. But however, we have now set up a meeting, a convening meeting for October 2nd. At 8 o'clock p.m., I've sent notices out. Those of you who had expressed interest in serving on that committee or were voted to, you should have received an invite. If you haven't, please let me know. Thank you so much, Susan.
That's got it. Okay, there's a hand up. Serene.
Yeah, sorry. I was just wondering why it was 8 as opposed to 8:30.
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand what you said. Would you be kind to speak a little louder?
Asking Irene why the meeting was set for 8 as opposed to 8:30, since the national meeting.
Yes, it is at 8. The working bank. It is at 8.
Right. I'm asking why it's set for 8 as opposed to 8:30. 8:30 is 5:30 in California. So the effort is usually to try to avoid the work day so people can attend the meetings. You polled all the people, I guess, and everybody's okay with 8?
Well, no, I didn't poll all the people because I had polled them before and most of the people said, give us a time and we'll be there. That was what I did.
Okay.
Happy the committee is finally meeting. Thank you.
Coordinating committee. The coordinating committee met jointly with the strategic planning committee, and I'll report on it then for that committee. Finance committee, 10 minutes. Darlene.
I don't know that.
What was your report? I'm sorry. Before you move on, what did you say about strategic and
the coordinating committee met jointly with the strategic planning committee. I will address that when we get to the strategic planning committee.
Okay. Thanks.
So on finance, we're working well. We really are gelling, I think, in terms of our attention to the work. our last meeting was Tuesday. We will meet again the next Tuesday. The reason we're going to meet 2 weeks in a row is because the first meeting of the month, a majority of folks wanted to go listen to the debate. So the agreement was we would meet on the 17th and the 24th to be back on schedule if we did that, closed down that one meeting. So that's why we have a meeting. We just had a meeting and we're going to have another one next week. Last meeting, we, had a presentation from KPFK and the executive director on the KPFK budget. It looks really good. It does not, come out as a deficit budget. And, you'll be hearing more about that in this meeting, because we have, the finance committee accepted and passed on their budget, and it is now moved up to the PMD, and that'll be later on tonight's schedule. The other thing that we've been working on is we are trying to pull together all of the known recorded documents about the central services process going back to I forget how far back it goes, but it goes back farther than we should probably be abiding by, but still we haven't laid it all out and looked at all the changes that have been suggested over time. There have been a number of motions passed by the PMB changing the central services formula, and they don't seem to have ever been implemented. And so we may actually still be operating on the situation as it was known in 2012. So our first focus is on the budgets. We'll be getting KPFA's budget this coming Tuesday. And that still leaves several units with budget still to be presented, but we're just going as fast as we can. We are not going to meet our fantasy deadline or our you know wished for deadline of before the new fiscal year starts, but we will be very close to it. And so that is the work of the Finance Committee. I feel like it's a really hardworking and productive committee, if I do say so myself. So yeah.
Darlene, mm-hmm. You distributed the budget.
Yes.
The FY 2025 budget.
Yes.
And it is up for vote tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, at Pacifica. Do you want Stephanie to give a bit of background about it?
If you think that's appropriate for the Finance Committee report, sure thing.
That's where we have it.
Okay.
And Stephanie, I think you had a narrative.
Yes, a budget narrative was sent out to everyone. So let me open that up. See, you're catching me off guard. This is what I get for multitasking.
That's what you get for
I'm on this phone call. Oh boy. Okay. I just mailed it out, but let me open it up. KPFK financials proposed budget narrative. Okay. So the budget was sent out to everybody, in a Excel format, as well as a PDF in case somebody had difficulty opening up the Excel or scrolling through all the tabs. As you can see in the budget, it was divided comparing the highlight of the proposed budget for fiscal year 25 is a column that's in yellow. There's a few notes on the side. And then it's comparing it to a few fiscal years going back. But there was also mailed out a KPFK proposed fiscal year 25 budget narrative. And I can read that to everybody if they'd like right now, which again, to put it on the stream. So the summary, it's very short. The summary in a nutshell is the proposed fiscal year 25 budget for KPFK projects a total revenue of $1,334,550 and expenses of $1,233,830, resulting in a net income of $100,670 by the end of the fiscal year. This represents a 4% increase in revenue and a 12% reduction in expenses compared to the fiscal year 24 budget projections. The details regarding that, as far as revenue, additional revenue streams will come in from a more strategic focus on corporate matching and major donor programs, modest growth in the already successful car donation program, and a renewed effort to secure sponsorships. Some of the details with expenses. Expenses for fiscal year 25 do include central service payments of $179,855, which are calculated at 15% of the total fiscal year 23 revenue. We didn't do 24 because 24 is projected. We can readjust that as we finish this fiscal year. Personnel expenses total $622,475, which is covering 10 full-time equivalent or FTE employees and two volunteer managers, the general manager and the program director. Although adding paid positions for the GM and the PD were discussed, it was not included in the budget approved by the KPFK LSB. The fiscal year 25 personnel expenses reflect a 17% decrease from the projected fiscal year 25 expenses, primarily due to the completion of severance payouts for two employees and a settlement payout to a former employee. Administrative expenses are projected at $137,400, marking a 13% reduction compared to the fiscal year 24 projections. This includes the $43,200 in annual rent for KPFK's new location, but because utilities are included in the rent, we have thereby eliminated a previous significant expense between $35,000 to $50,000 annually. Programming expenses are budgeted at $176,800, which is reflecting a modest increase of $2,000, which is roughly 1.17%, compared to fiscal year 24 projections. Development expenses are projected at $109,800, which is a 19% increase over fiscal year 24. This rise includes a slight uptick in premium shipping costs, maintaining current payments for the donor software system, a decrease in outside vendor vendor premium purchases, and an increased investment in purchasing premiums from the Pacifica Radio Archives. So again, that narrative works in conjunction with the budget that was sent out, and there are a few just small notes in the notes column at the end of the budget. And again, the budget is in an Excel or a PDF, whatever you prefer.
We have 2 minutes on this subject.
Okay, there is a resolution. It is resolved that the PMB approves the KPFK budget for FY25. Because it doesn't come out of a committee, it does not need a second. Serene, so I will be asking for the vote on that. Serene, your question.
I have not, Stephanie, had a chance to look at the budget, the version that was sent today. Can you tell me what is shown for subcarry income?
For KPFK, they currently, for KPFK, the station that they had that was a subcarrier is no longer providing funding.
Are they no longer using the service, or they're no longer paying for it?
They're not paying for it. They did have two. One of them closed down. The other one is in the process of closing down. So we're negotiating with them. They haven't been using it. We're in the process of negotiating with them to see if they still want to use it. Is there some other pricing we can give them? So we have been reaching out to the people that had been subcarriers with us in the past, but a lot of that is just kind of dwindling.
Have we spoken to our FCC lawyers?
I'm sorry, what was that? Pardon?
Has there been any conversation with the FCC lawyers about what sort of market still exists for subcarriers? And because there are other things that can happen other than the broadcast.
This is interesting, but it doesn't pertain to the KPFK budget. That's the matter that is before us now. So there has
Stephanie can be allowed to answer the question, please.
Yeah, and you need to post that in an ED report question. So this is, it's not germane to the KPFK budget. Resolve that the PNB approves the KPFK budget for FY 2025. Are there any objections to approving the budget that has been distributed to the LSB? Hearing none, the FY 2025 KPFK budget that is a budget in balance is approved. Okay, governance. Fred, you're up, and let's see. The period of time for the governance committee is 20 minutes.
I'd first like to say that we took our responsibilities to heart. We did not dismiss or impugn anyone. Everyone was welcome to listen in, and I think the people who are uncertain about how we treated them were listening in. We assigned a committee of three different people from three different stations to address the multiple issues that were brought up. We thought that the issues were important enough to actually discuss them, and we did, and we've come to some resolutions, which we forwarded to the PNB to approve. So I want to make it really clear that we spent a good deal of time and energy and effort, and we treated these issues as though they were important, despite the allegations that were made earlier. The people on the committee, hey, I'm not talking to you.
Hang on just a minute. Serene, what's your point? There is no point of order. Go ahead, Fred.
Can you not hear me?
Serene, you needed to listen. You're just interrupting. Fred, continue.
I asked for a point of order. I get to make the point of order. You don't get to determine before I even
Serene,
speak
what's your point?
Point of order.
Serene, what's your point?
My point of order is several, actually. One is that you as chair have no business taking things that are on the agenda and assigning them to a committee that then meets in closed session to discuss the motions that were brought to the PNB in open session. That's my first point of order.
I'm finding your point of order is not well taken. That's the first point of order. It is not well taken because you addressed it.
I appeal the ruling of the chair.
I call.
Okay, so we will vote. Who supports Serene's appeal of the ruling of the chair?
Vanessa.
Okay, so we will have a vote. If you support the ruling of the chair that Serene's motion to dispute the, raise your point of order again, Serene, so we have it accurate in the minutes, so people will know what they're voting on.
My point of order is that a member brought motions to this board that were placed on the open agenda, and that the chair has no business unilaterally sending it to a committee that then creates a secret body to discuss these motions, come up with alternatives to the motions without any conversation with the PNB.
Okay, Serene, that's not a point of order. That's a complaint. That's a complaint.
I call the member out of order.
Threatened.
I find that Fred has grounds. And Serene, that was not a point of order. That was just a big complaint. So we're going to go on. Fred, please go on.
It's a point of order, but you have no authority to do what you did.
I call the member
out of order. I'm speaking to the chair's motion, the chair's statement. She gets to make a statement.
Serene,
I get to make a statement.
I call the member out of order.
And I find that you're calling this member out of order is well taken.
Susan, if I appeal the ruling of the chair, you get to make a statement and I get to make a statement.
The ruling of the chair is that Myla calling you out of order is well taken.
I was making my statement. You don't understand my statement, but you've decided that my making it is out of order, although that is the procedure when you're dealing with an appeal. Is that correct?
Serene, you went on and on. It was not a straight point of order. It was a rambling complaint, and you were called out of order for that by both Fred, I believe, and Myla. I am finding their calling you out of order well taken.
Point of order. This is, you're making decisions based on your political acumen and not which side you want politically and not because you have any real reason to do it.
Paul, you're not a comment.
I can make a comment. I'm a member of this board.
You're not recognized.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. You cut off all criticism.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're opening it up for like legal action.
Go ahead and sue then.
Okay. Right on. Okay, yes. Everybody quiet. And I apologize for my saying baloney. Okay, Teresa.
Actually, I'm trying to give the governance report.
I understand. Teresa, we don't hear you.
Oh, I see. My apologies.
Madam Chair, I would like to vote on the appeal. So I don't mind a statement from the complainer. And, actually I would be happy to make a statement for the chair if she doesn't want to make her own. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate your help in sorting through this, which I have not sorted out well. Serene, please make your statement. Then Teresa, make your statement and then we will vote.
Is there a time limit?
Point of order. Is this charged to the time?
Yes, it does.
No, actually, it's apart from the time for the governance committee report.
I am pausing the time at this point. Thank you.
Thank you. Serene, please make your statement.
So I have a point of information. Does your attempting, you're allowing two people to call me out of order while I was attempting to make my statement earlier, does that still stand? Now that you've been reminded that you're violating the process again?
It does not still stand. Please go ahead and make your statement.
I accept your apology.
Go ahead and make your statement, Serene.
A member brought motions. I'm speaking. A member brought motions to the PNB in open session that were accepted and put on the agenda. Those motions have not been addressed over a period of several months. The chair does not unilaterally have the right to send the motions accepted by the PNB to a governance committee, which then has a closed session to discuss whether or not the motions are valid, whether or not the motion should be accepted, whether or not they can come up with alternatives to the motion, and then all of this in secret session, and then come back to the PNB to report on how they think the motion should be dispensed with. That is inappropriate. You have no authority, and the entire process is working in the shadows, which is the exact opposite of most of those motions, which speak to the multiple violations of this board in terms of process and what the bylaws require, what California law requires, what the CPB requires. That's what the motions speak to. Your response has been, in fact, to double down on violations. And I remember.
How long is the point?
Good God. We're at 2 minutes now.
And in fact, that someone on that committee threatened my life.
So if that is the case, please, please, please bring a complaint about that threat to the entire board. Please, Serene. Teresa.
I think you were probably at that meeting, actually.
I was not at that meeting. Teresa, please.
When your guy from Houston offered to, what was it?
Serene, if you have a complaint about someone threatening you, please forward it to the PNB. Teresa, it's your time to talk.
Okay. The numerous resolutions, many of which had to do with operational items and things that might have been considered governance, were sent to the governance committee. And rather than have a complete 22-member PNB discuss each of these resolutions, or having the complete governance committee discuss all of these motions, the governance committee sent it to a subcommittee which handled it. So I think this is the most expeditious way of handling it. So thank you.
So may I just be clear, the motions that were developed by this subcommittee, were they presented at the governance committee?
They were.
Yes, and now they are on the agenda for action today. So none of them would be decided except by action of the PNB. Is that correct?
Yes. And Madam Chair, I think many of them involved governance or operational issues that maybe shouldn't have gone straight to the PNB anyway. I mean, we just don't have time to discuss so many things that we never get to discuss other things that have gone through the committee.
Okay, so if Serene wants to speak again, I'm going to speak. This essentially brings those matters up early in the agenda under the committee work, rather than leaving them in old business, which we have not gotten to. Serene, do you wish to speak again?
How long?
My question remains.
For 1 minute. Serene, are you speaking now?
Well, I had begun to, but someone had a question. My question remains to you. On what authority do you send things off to the governance committee? And on what authority does the governance committee take open session issues into essentially a private phone call?
So if you sustain the chair, as explained by Teresa.
On what authority? It is a question.
Serene,
I call
Serene,
the member
you raised
order.
Your point of order, and we will now vote.
Why not just answer the question?
What is your authority for doing what you did?
It's a simple question.
He's the chair.
The board did it. I did not. The governance committee, the government
Your
actions
were improper.
You're getting sucked
into.
I'm sorry.
You're getting
sucked
into. I am finding you out of order and disruptive of this meeting, and so we'll put you in the waiting room. Hang on, everybody.
It's not political.
Put you in the
Fred. Hey, help it end. Help it end. Stop.
Okay. So, thank you, Serene. Teresa, you've got your hand up. Miley, you've got your hand up.
The legacy hand, madam. I just want to get to the vote. Thank you.
Already is right okay. to.
I just want to say I misunderstand. I think that, as far as I know, an open meeting of our governance committee is not a private phone call. As far as I know, I guess that's a question. Is an open meeting of the governance committee a private phone call?
No.
Point of order,
Madam Chair. It was open.
The discussion was had in a private.
Oh, Darlene, were you asking something?
Yes. A ruling of the chair is not debatable. You've given people opportunities to make statements, but it's been called to a vote, and this is the non-debatable vote. So
thank you very much for your help, Darlene. I appreciate it.
Sorry.
Julie,
point of order.
A yes, you support the ruling of the chair. No, you support the challenge by Serene.
Yes. Irene Adams?
I support the ruling of the chair. Yes.
Thank you. After Irene's a yes. Teresa Allen?
Yes, I support the chair.
Teresa's a yes. Kaja Brown?
Hell yeah, I support the chair.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kaja's a yes. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna passes. Paul DiRienzo?
I support the delegate, Serene.
Paul's a no. Jim Dingaman?
No.
Jim's a no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
No.
Vanessa's a no. Fred Dodsworth?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Fred's a yes. Jan Goodman?
Yes.
Jan's a yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Heather's a yes. Avalia Jones?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Avalia's a yes. Zach Caldvier?
Yes.
Zach's a yes. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Marianne's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Myla Reason?
I support the ruling of the chair.
Myla's a yes. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Sean's a no. Serene Roberts?
Tango report.
Serene's a no. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Minerva's a yes. Harvey Wasserman?
Yes.
Harvey's a yes. Egberto Willis? I don't think Egberto is here. Let me go back up. Donna Carter, you passed.
No.
Donna's a no. Madam Chair, the yeses are 13 and the noes are 6.
All right. So the ruling of the chair has been supported. Now, Fred, please go ahead with the report from the committee.
So,
and the time starts now.
We met as a committee, and I asked for volunteers, for people who would like to put this together and see whether it was in violation of our bylaws and how we could proceed fruitfully. And I asked for volunteers. I got 3 volunteers, one from WBAI, one from KPFT, and one from, oh, heck, I can hardly remember anymore, WPFW. And they took those suggestions and requests and went through them and made sure that they were not contradicting anything else in the bylaws, and proceeded to make suggestions as to how we can move this forward so that these meetings can be held with less disruption and with more clarity and transparency. And they came up with some really good suggestions, which, since we're a committee, we don't get to enact these suggestions. We simply pass them back to the PNB, at which point the PNB gets to discuss them, modify them, and move them forward or dispute them. Those 3 people were Jim Dingaman, Minerva Sanders, and Teresa Allen. And they all got input from Julie Hewitt, who has been working with bylaw issues, and Susan Young. So that came back, and I feel very good about what we accomplished. I think that the person who brought up these issues had some points, and it's really good to see that we were able to move forward in a positive, professional way, so that we have understandings and clarity about how these decisions are made. The second issue is the review of the bylaws subcommittee, which is chaired by Jim Dingaman. Jim has been very busy with a lot of things, and he has moved. I think he's here so he can speak to that if he wishes, but he has said that he has gone through 2004 and 2005 and 2006. We have not gotten a report from Mr. Dingaman, but he says he has put together a list of issues that are in the bylaws where we might have, as a PNB, we might have made changes to the bylaws and voted on them but never enacted them, or we may have instituted bylaws that are in conflict with our other bylaws. We discussed the CPB requirement to simplify the bylaws and find a way forward so that we can actually qualify for CPB's funding. One of our WBAI members insisted that we need to show them where suggestion was made by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and there were several people who said that they would look through that. They recall clearly that there was a request to simplify the bylaws, and they would look through their notes and find out what letter this Corporation for Public Broadcasting said to us that requested that we simplify our bylaws. We asked for volunteers to help Mr. Dingman and received none. So we're kind of stuck there. We discussed uniform meeting management capabilities, came together with an idea, a proposal actually, that all the committees and all the LSBs follow basically the format of the PNB so that we get a clear acknowledgement of who attended each meeting and who did not attend each meeting, what items were on the agenda and what the resolution was. We did not get, and we do not expect there to be a named vote or an identified vote of each person and how they voted, nor any discussion of the arguments that happened in these meetings. Simply the motion, did it pass or not? And was it amended or not? And who amended it? And did the amendment pass or not? And I feel very good about that. I think that it's important that each of these committees do have a complete list of when it was called, who attended, what the agenda was, and what the results were. And we forwarded that, or we are in the process of forwarding that to the PNB. And I'm happy to say that Michael Chang, my secretary, that is working with Julie Hewitt to put that together so that we can address it hopefully at our next PNB meeting. This should give clarity and transparency to all the decisions made by the committees, by the LSBs, and by the PNB in a form that is accessible to all. And so that's kind of what we did. The last meeting, we actually ended at 90 minutes in, which was really good, rather than going the entire 2 hours, because we covered the agenda entirely. That's my report.
So how are we doing on time? I see, Jim, I see your hand. How are we doing on time, Irene?
We have 7 minutes here.
7 minutes, okay. 7 minutes under governance, or 7 minutes under committee reports, and how close are we to reaching our time, our 10 o'clock? I'm in L.A., and so
You know what, Madam Chair? I have been doing, like, people, but I should have been doing the whole 45-minute, and then the people one should have been doing the committee itself. So we do have 7 minutes. I did set the clock for governance at 20 minutes, and we have 7 minutes left for governance. But I'm not sure what we did for committee reports as a whole, because I was timing each one. I'm sorry.
Understood. So I see the secretary's got her hand up.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I think you were also asking about the time in terms of moving into closed session, and the agenda said 10 p.m. and it is
10 p.m.
now.
10:01. It is 10:01.
Yeah. So I'm going to hear from Jim, who had his hand up, and then I'm going to accept the motion to go into closed session. Jim, you took your hand down.
No, I'm all right. I just took my hand down and I'm moving. So,
okay, so is there a motion to go into closed session?
No, moved. Okay, oh, you don't want me to report about what happened? Okay.
Wait a second.
No.
Is it Teresa? Jim, are you seconding the motion to go into closed session? Teresa, you're muted.
I'm sorry. I just wanted 1 minute to report on personnel, but that's okay. If you want to go to executive session, I'll second it.
Great. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any objection to going into closed session? Hearing none, we're going into closed session at 10:02.